Appreciate the Lord blessing us and being able to be here with y'all here at Island Ford, amen, and WSOF and Light and Truth Radio Ministries here for this week. And thank the Lord for what he's done for us during the marathon, amen. As a blessing, I've had a good time, amen. And I hope that you have as well. Enjoyed all the preaching, as Daddy's already mentioned. Amen. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning.
Amen.
Appreciate the Lord helping us, amen. Appreciate the church here and for all the help that you've been to us. Amen. We thank you for it. You've been faithfully supporting us there. And I appreciate the extra that you sent there for Christmas time. I appreciate that. The Lord's good to us. Amen. And blesses us. And we thank you for praying for us out there in Oklahoma.
Amen.
And continue to do that. Amen. We need your prayers that the Lord would help us there. If you would look with us in Daniel chapter number 2. While you're finding your place, I'll tell you this. Samuel, we like to, he likes to go to church. Amen. We appreciate that. We thank the Lord that he likes to go to church. He likes to sing. Amen. And he likes to dress up to go to church.
Right.
Amen. And so on Sunday mornings, usually I'm dressed and ready to go to church. I come out and see Samuel, and he says, "Oh, church." And he knows. And that is when the time means we're going to go to church, and he's ready to get ready. And then I tell him when he gets ready, I say, "You look sharp." Amen. And so Tuesday we was here, and I was in the bathroom shaving, and Samuel come around the corner and come in there, and he said, "That is shaving." I said, "Yeah, he's shaving." And he said, "Looking sharp." Amen. Well, he's pretty smart. Amen. 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 No, I'm picking. But that is what he said. Amen. But we thank the Lord for his goodness to us and for helping us. We've been looking at the book of Daniel there at Pollard for a while. And we're just finishing up chapter 5 right now. But I feel like this is where the Lord would have for us to be here this morning. Before I read my scripture, I'll say this. When Brother Philip was teaching, as I said, I appreciate the lesson. Amen. It's good. As Brother Philip was teaching, I noticed something I didn't notice there in Genesis chapter number 8, where God's telling them to be fruitful and multiply. And then he said, if you take the life of man, then of man shall your life be required, right? If you take the blood of a man, then your blood will be required for that. And then it goes right back into saying, be fruitful and multiply. And so a lot of people say, well, that was, he told Adam be fruitful and multiply because there's nobody there. And so we need to populate the earth. And then he told Noah to do that because there was nobody there, right? And so he had to repopulate. They say that God doesn't require of us to be fruitful and multiply. Well, I wonder about that. If that, it looks to me like the commandment is be fruitful and multiply. And so it is wrong when you subtract instead of multiply. It's wrong for you to kill somebody.
Right.
It's still wrong for you to kill. That was before the law. It was wrong for you to kill somebody. Now we have the law, and God just confirms it in the law that it's wrong for a man to kill another man. Amen. Whether it's in the womb or outside the womb.
Right.
Amen. It doesn't matter. It's still wrong, still evil, because we're subtracting when God said to multiply.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. So I think that it's tied together there some way. Amen. All right, Daniel chapter number 2, and this is very familiar scripture. I'm going to assume that we know what is being talked about here. We're going to be down in verse number 31 is where we're going to start. And we're not going to read the whole text because, as we said, it's familiar. I think that you know this is the children of Israel have been carried away captive into Babylon. Daniel has been set up to rule with the king and in the government of Babylon. And God's already used Daniel in chapter number 1 to take a strong stand for the Lord and revealed some things to Nebuchadnezzar about the God of the heaven and the earth. Amen. And so God's used Daniel in the life of Nebuchadnezzar already, and he's getting ready to use him again. Amen. And we're going to see this in verse number 31. Let's just begin reading here. The Bible says, "Thou, O king, sawest..." This is Daniel speaking. He's given the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar has forgot the dream that he had. But I believe it's insinuated here in Nebuchadnezzar's remarks that he wants somebody to tell him about this dream. Tell him the dream and the interpretation.
Right.
It's insinuated that he remembers. It's just really vague about what he remembers. And he's going to know whether they're telling him the truth or not. He's going to remember that dream whenever they start telling him about it. And so that's why these wise men, as we said yesterday, they are wise men by title, not by their actions, not by what they actually knew. They wasn't very wise at all, but they were given a title of being wise. We got a lot of those today.
Yep.
Claim to be something that they're not. Amen. And they couldn't help him. And the reason was, they already, Nebuchadnezzar said, you already had lies prepared. You were just going to see what I was going to say. If I said this dream or that dream, then you already had a plan. We're going to tell them this is the answer. We're going to tell them, they already had lies prepared. And Nebuchadnezzar knew it.
Right.
And yet he still went to them. I don't understand that. But I think in our day, we have some people that we know that they're going to lie to us, but we still watch the news every day. Amen. We already know that they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
And yet we still listen to them. Amen. Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Amen. But they couldn't help Daniel because they couldn't help the king because they knew that the king would know they was lying when they was telling them this. And but Daniel wasn't afraid to tell the king what he saw because
Amen.
He knew the God that told it to Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Verse number 31, he gives them the interpretation, or the dream is revealed, and then he gives them the interpretation. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And that doesn't mean that it was awful. Terrible just means great or of great magnitude. It was incredible, we might would say. Amen. Now, it did terrify Nebuchadnezzar, but not because of the way that it looked, but because he didn't understand it.
Right.
And he knew that it was something from God. Verse number 32, this image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and the gold broke into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind was carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, not the king of kings, a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Daniel said, you're the greatest, but you're only great because God made you great.
Right, that's right.
Everything you have is owed to God.
Right.
He's bragging on the king. He said, you're the greatest Gentile kingdom that is ever going to exist, ever has existed, or ever
right.
will exist.
Right.
But then he says, verse number 39, and after thee, shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Well, that probably stroked Nebuchadnezzar's ego a little bit. There's going to be another kingdom, another great kingdom. It's not going to be as good as you, Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. But here's the thing. Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar, a king that is not nearly as good as you are, a lot inferior to you, is going to overthrow you.
Yeah.
Not him personally. He is the head of gold, not him personally. The kingdom that he has built
right.
is the head of gold, the Babylonian kingdom. But a kingdom that is less strong is going to overtake the kingdom that is greater. That is already mentioned. Is everything in this world breaks down, and
yep.
it's natural for things to get worse. And the Bible tells us it's going to get worse and worse.
That's right.
Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Amen. Verse number 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. He painted this picture of this kingdom, this image that's gold on top and silver, then brass, and then iron and clay, and it's mixed together. Those two don't work very well when they're mixed together. And he's telling them this is a picture of the Gentile kingdoms of the world. And you might look at something with a head of gold, of very heavy gold, and a shoulder of silver, and shoulders of silver, and on down to brass. It's very heavy, but it's all setting on clay.
Yeah.
It's got a foundation of clay.
Yep.
How does it even stand? It's all mixed together and mingled together. And
right.
How does it even stand? And we can look at our government today and wonder, how in the world could it possibly stand?
Yep.
But you know what? It's going to be standing when the stone comes back.
Yep.
Amen. You know why? Because God said it's going to.
Yep.
Amen. And verse number 44, and in these days, what days? The days of this image. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. God's going to set up a different kingdom.
Yep.
Not a part of this kingdom. Not a part of any of these kingdoms. It shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and interpretation thereof sure. Daniel wasn't afraid to say that I believe what I'm telling you.
Right.
It's going to come to pass just like God said it's going to come to pass. Amen. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us as we preach, if you would pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day. We do thank You for the opportunities You've given us here to preach. Lord, we thank You for these people that have gathered together to worship You here this morning. We thank You for the Carrico family and for their singing. Lord, bless their hearts. Lord, I pray that You would bless them as well. Lord, I pray You would help now in this service. Lord, I pray You would guide my thoughts and help me as I preach. Lord, I pray that You would help the listeners, Lord, that we might get something from Your Word that will be a blessing and a help to us. Lord, I do pray especially, Lord, if there's anybody here, and I'm sure that there is, that doesn't know You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray that You would convict their heart and show them what's waiting for them if they don't repent, Lord. And I pray that You would cause them to believe on Your Son. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate you honoring the reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. One thing, I believe Daniel here, and we know Daniel is a book of prophecy. He's a great prophet.
Yes.
He was a young man at this point. If you look back in Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah tells us that when Jehoiakim was in his fourth year, that was the first year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And so that was chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, was the third year according to Daniel, but it's the same time there, depending on how you count it. But Daniel, the chapter 1 is in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter number 2, it starts out telling us the very first part of the chapter, and in the second year, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar's been in office for a year. Daniel's been in Babylon for a year, it looks like. In chapter 1, they tell us that Daniel's going to be in school for 3 years. So Daniel's still in school. Daniel's still a student there. He's not an old man. He's still going to be around 69 years later. He's going to be around 3 more years after that. He's going to be around at least 72 more years as a prophet. Daniel, I don't know how old Daniel is at this point, but he's probably a teenager. Amen. He's this young boy that's in school, and he's a slave boy. And yet he comes and tells the king, this is what God said, and I'm sure about it. Amen. You know, it don't matter how old you are, how young you are, you can be sure about the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
You definitely can. But Daniel, this dream has been given to Nebuchadnezzar, and it's to show, is used by God and Daniel to show us a bit of a timeline for the Gentile kingdoms. It's talk about the times of the Gentiles. Daniel's telling us about the times of the Gentiles. Of course, Daniel gives us some dates, and we're going to look at this here in just a minute, a little bit more. But some dates that are given to the Jews, but we don't have. It doesn't tell us how many years it's going to be from the time that Nebuchadnezzar takes the throne until the time that Jesus comes back. It doesn't tell us that.
No.
The Bible tells us we don't know that.
Right.
Amen. God schedules things according to the Jew, and right now it's on pause. God's dealing with the church right now. You say, how much longer we got? I don't know. But I know as soon as the trumpet sounds, God's going back to dealing with the Jew.
That's right.
And there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Then there's going to be 1,000 years of a reign of Christ. And that's what Daniel's writing about here is about that stone coming down. And we know, I'm going to just go out on a limb and tell you this. I'm going to try to prove it to you. And I know you probably already know this. But this stone that comes down is none other than Jesus Christ, who's coming to rule on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Daniel just told Nebuchadnezzar, you're the greatest Gentile kingdom, but you're not the greatest.
That's right.
You're the greatest Gentile kingdom, but your kingdom's coming to an end.
Yep.
But there's coming a king that's going to reign forever and ever. He's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. But after that, time shall be no more, and he's still king.
Amen.
Amen. He's still king. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for it. So Daniel, God's given some information here about this, and God's told who's going to come, and Daniel's going to be used by God to, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, the time of the Babylonians, to reveal who's going to be the second kingdom and who's going to be the third kingdom and even who's going to be the fourth kingdom. And we understand the second kingdom is the Medes and the Persians, and the third is the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great. Daniel describes him to a T. Then we come on down, and that's a couple hundred years after Daniel, and then you get down to the Roman Empire. But when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom here after the tribulation period, according to Daniel, it's going to come and hit the feet of this empire, of this image. It's going to come down and destroy the Roman Empire. I believe there will be a revival of the Roman Empire during the tribulation period, but I don't know that I can explain how that's going to happen, but I do believe that it's going to happen. But the point is, there's no point in here where this image is not standing.
Right.
Not only is it going to destroy the Roman Empire, but it's going to destroy the Greek Empire.
Yep.
And it's going to destroy the whole image. God said this stone is going to destroy the head of gold.
Right.
So the whole image today, we're living in the times of this miry clay mixed with iron.
Yes.
Talking about the governments, the Gentile kingdoms of this world. We're living in that day. Even though the Roman Empire is not functioning like it was, that is still the time that we're living in today.
Amen.
And this image, the entire image is still standing.
Yes.
The system of the Babylonians is still here today.
Yes.
The system of the Greeks are still here. All this is still the same system. And you say, why does God allow, what is God doing in our government today? God's not doing anything in our government today. God's not dealing in our government. God's dealing with the church today.
Right.
This is the time of the church.
Amen.
Amen. In America, we get so caught up in what America is doing. God doesn't tell us what America is doing in the Bible. God tells us what the church is supposed to be doing.
Amen. Amen.
That's what our focus is on the church and our goal. I looked up the word stone, and I found several things here about this stone. The first mention of the word stone is in Genesis 2, Brother Philip. Amen. Genesis 2. It's talking about that land there, the Garden of Eden. It's talking about the gold of that land is good. He says in verse number 12, and there is bdellium and onyx stone. It's talking about a stone that is precious, a stone that is valuable.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's a lot of times in the Bible, four different books mentions stone as a valuable thing, as a precious thing. Then in 16 different books in the Bible, it mentions stone as a building material. Amen. And then in five different books, it mentions a stone as a door. They rolled the stone away so they could get into the tomb and see that Jesus was already out of the tomb. Amen.
Amen.
It is a door. When Lazarus was dead, they rolled the stone out away from the door.
Right.
Amen. So the stone is a door. A stone is a means of judgment. In 13 different books of the Bible, it talks about stoning somebody for their crimes that they had committed.
Right.
It is a form of judgment. Now, the stone in two different books in the Bible is talked about is referring to the law. The law of God. God wrote on two tables of stone what the law was going to be. Amen. And then figuratively in Genesis 49, during the story of Joseph there, Jacob is given the blessing. And Jacob said, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Israel. From thence is the shepherd the stone of Israel.
Amen.
So figuratively, it's used as a supporter or as a provider. Amen. And then we also see that a stone can be an idol or a god. Gods of stone. We found out that Nebuchadnezzar had some gods of wood and stone. Belshazzar worshiped gods of gold and silver and stone and all of this. And then in Joshua and in 1 Samuel as well, we find that a stone is used as a means of remembrance. They set up a memorial, a stone. There were stones. Amen. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen. So it's a stone of remembrance. And then it's used symbolically as a type of Christ. And that's what it's used of in this text here. But can I say this? All of those can be linked to Christ as well.
Yes.
Amen. He is the law. He is the judgment. He is precious. Amen. He is the building. Amen. We're stones fitly joined together. The Bible talks about that. Building fitly joined together, built up in Christ. Amen. All of these can be linked to Christ, and we're going to see that. Amen. So God uses Daniel here to tell about the future Gentile age, but the real message here is what's going to happen at the end. Well, a lot of people today want to think about, you could preach about what the Bible says we need to do today, but if you put down that you're going to preach on prophecy or you're going to preach on end times, you'll fill the church building up.
Right.
Amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm just saying people want to know what's going to happen to somebody that, later on, that they're probably not even going to be around to see it, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, they don't want to know what they need to do today.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us is going to be around to see this stone. In one way or another. Amen. This stone is going to affect every person here. And we're going to see that. There's a choice. The stone affects different people differently. Amen. We're going to see that. I do believe that there's going to be one man that's going to come and going to fix the world. There's going to be one first that's going to claim to. People are going to believe him. He's known as the Antichrist. But then there's coming another one. When Jesus is reigning upon the throne, there's not going to be any crime. There's going to be wicked people, but they're going to be able to control their... Listen, and it's something... They're not going to have the influence of Satan around. Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. They're not going to have the influence of Satan. I think this is the big thing. The Lord's going to be sitting on the throne, and the Lord is going to know what's in the heart of people and what their actions. Today, you might get away with a crime.
Yep.
Amen. You might. A lot of people do. Get away. If you got a good enough lawyer, or you got enough money, or you just happen to get away with it some way, you could do that. There's a lot of people that do that. But in that day, God doesn't have to rely upon security cameras, amen, and police officers. They're not a police officer everywhere all the time.
Right.
But in that day, the eyes of the Lord is going to be everywhere. It still is. He beholds the evil and the good today.
Right.
But he is going to be sitting on the throne ruling with a rod of iron. One person commits a crime and they're going to be judged for that immediately, it looks like to me. And so people's going to recognize, hey, if I do this, I'm going to get in big trouble. It might be in their heart, but they're not going to act upon it.
Right.
And it's something that we seem to think as Christians that we can't control what we do. I mean, everybody sins some. I don't believe that we can get to the place where we'll never sin again.
Right.
I don't believe we can get there, but we're to try to.
Sure.
And there's going to come a time for 1,000 years, lost people are going to behave themselves.
Yes, sir.
In the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right.
Right.
Amen. It is possible not to live after the flesh. Amen.
Right.
But to follow the Spirit, as Brother Philip taught this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So when is these things going to happen? It's going to happen in the days of these kings. What's going to happen? God's going to set up his kingdom. Where is it going to be? It's going to be all over the whole earth.
Amen.
Amen. Just like that flood was. Amen. Just like the destruction is going to come later over the whole earth. Christ is going to rule over the whole earth. This stone is going to destroy all these kingdoms. Every kingdom on the earth. Amen. Is going to be under the power of this stone.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. Maybe Daniel lived a long time after this. Daniel lived 69 years before the Babylonians were destroyed. And they had built that city where they didn't think there was any way anybody could destroy it.
Yep.
And yet God found a way, amen, and let Darius find that way. And they got in the city and destroyed them.
Yep.
But Daniel, 60 years after this message, maybe Daniel might have thought, well, I wonder, how long is this Babylonian kingdom going to continue? Is God ever going to do anything about this? We might look around and say, is God ever going to do anything about the world that we're living in?
Right.
He will.
Yes,
it may not come when we want it to come or when we think it's going to come, but it's coming. Amen. He's going to rule. He's going to set up His kingdom. Amen. It is going to end. The Bible spells out very clearly what is going to happen in the end, but it doesn't tell us when that end is. It just commands for us to remain faithful. Look, if you would, back in Isaiah. Hold your place here. I don't know if you need to hold your place here. I might not be back. Isaiah chapter 28. We're going to look at some different scriptures and see what is said about this stone. Isaiah was written about 100 years before Daniel, somewhere thereabouts. And Isaiah prophesied a lot of the same things that Daniel saw come to pass. Amen.
Yes.
Isaiah was a great prophet of the Lord. Isaiah 28. Look in verse number 14. We could read the whole chapter. We don't have time to do that. It's talking about Ephraim here. But verse 14, he says, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men." We got a lot of those in our day, don't we?
Yep.
That rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. This is God's people. This is not Israel, the northern kingdom. This is Judah,
right,
the southern kingdom. This is Jerusalem. Israel never had a good king, but Judah had about half of their kings was good.
Right.
And yet Isaiah said, "Ye scornful men which rule this people." That's not very good, is it? Verse number 15. This is the people that had a covenant with God. God made a promise, if you follow after me, then I will bless you and I will fight your battles and all of this. You know the story. But if you go against me, then I will send you off into a far country. I will judge you. And look what the Bible says, verse 15. "But because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death." God's made a covenant with us, but we don't like His terms.
Yep.
We'd rather make a covenant with death. "And with hell are we at agreement." There's people singing today on the highway to hell and they're proud of it.
Right.
They've made an agreement with hell. And they ain't ashamed of that.
Yep.
We know what God said, but we don't like what God said. We'd rather serve Satan. Amen. "And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us." That's prideful, ain't it?
Yep.
"For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone."
Amen.
"A sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste." Amen. And then he goes on down talking about judgment also. That stone is there for a foundation for us to stand upon. But if we reject the stone, then that stone, Jesus said, will fall upon us.
Right.
Amen. And crush us. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Amen. God's going to start over. God's going to start fresh with this stone. He's going to reset everything with a clean slate.
Amen.
He's going to rule on this earth. Amen. That's not going on in this day. The head of gold did not see this stone being hewed out without hands.
Right.
It didn't see the stone coming. The shoulders of brass, of silver did not see it. The brass did not see it. The iron and clay didn't recognize this stone and won't recognize the stone. The image is doing whatever it wants to do and is thinking that it's in total control of everything going on while the stone is rolling toward its feet.
Amen.
Amen. Just because it doesn't look like God's in control, and in one sense, God's not in control right now. God does set up kings. God is in control of all of that. God set up Nebuchadnezzar, but he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do whatever he wanted to do.
Right.
The reason Nebuchadnezzar fought against God's people is because he had it in his heart to do so.
Right.
But God used him to judge his people. And then when he got lifted up in pride, he was lifted up in pride the whole time. But when he rebelled against God to the point, God judged him. God showed him that God was actually the one in control, not Nebuchadnezzar.
Yep.
Amen. But he let Nebuchadnezzar do whatever he wanted to do. And God will let you do whatever you want to do. But God's still in control.
Right.
Amen. He's still sovereign. He's still in control.
Yes.
But he allows us to do whatever we want to do in our life. And we will have to give an account for what we do with what he's given to us. Amen. So the image is at work doing whatever it decides to do. And God's allowed the Gentiles to rule the world for the last 2,500 or so years. Amen. But he's coming one day and he's going to set it all straight. He's going to destroy all this. Amen. God did not interfere with the kingdom turning from gold to silver, or from silver to brass, or from brass to iron, or from iron to clay. He didn't interfere with that. He allowed it to deteriorate all the way down to what we see today.
Right.
And the corruption that we see is part of this image. But yet they're not going to be able to stop God when he comes in. Amen. In judgment. Look with me in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We quote this verse quite a bit. And it's right the way that we quote it in a lot of ways, but that's not the context that it's talking about. But I'm talking about verse number 24. We'll get there. But Psalm 118, verse number 20. This gate is of the Lord, unto which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. They refused him, but he still became the headstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's talking about the day when the stone was rejected and became the head of the corner. That's the day when the religious rulers decided, we don't want to hear about this. We're going to put them on the cross and kill them. They rejected him. And yet, because of that, he paid for their sin debt.
Amen.
Amen. He paid for your sin debt. Amen. Look in verse number 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. That save now is the same Hebrew word that they used. We pronounce it Hosanna. That's the word, Hosanna. Save now.
Amen.
When they was laying their branches down, their olive, other, was palm branches, down in the way of the Lord, making way for him and saying, Hosanna to the King of the Jews. They were saying, save us.
Right.
They were saying, save us from the Roman Empire.
Right.
They wasn't wanting to be saved from their sin, because just a few days later, they are saying, crucify, the same people saying, crucify him, crucify him. Amen. There's a world that wants to be saved, but not from their sin. Amen. Look now with me in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. This is, again, very familiar. But Matthew 21, we're talking about this stone. This stone. Look what the Bible says. If you look in verse 23, verse number 23, Matthew 21. The Bible says, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? These are the chief priests, these are the rulers, the Pharisees, this group of people, the religious crowd that was opposing our Lord all the way through.
Right.
And look what the Lord said unto them down in verse number 42. At the end of the chapter, Jesus said unto them, who's the them? Verse number 23, the religious leaders, the chief priests and the elders. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? They did. Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? Jesus said, this is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, he's quoting the psalmist. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. We get in on that. Verse number 44, and whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. It will grind him to powder. Verse number 45, this is sad. But when the chief priests heard and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Well, they was right. He was speaking of them.
Yep.
The Bible was speaking of them when it said the builders rejected. They are the builders. Verse number 46, but when they sought to lay hands on him, so they perceived that he spoke of them, and Jesus said, you are rejecting me, but if you'll fall on me, then you'll be saved. But if you don't, if you reject me, then you'll be crushed. And so their answer to that is say, let's kill him.
Yep.
They didn't like what he had to say. They still rejected him.
That's right.
Amen. They had a choice. I mean, you have a choice today.
Right.
Amen. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We're looking at this stone. Who is the stone? Well, the stone is Jesus. Jesus said it was. The Bible says it is. Amen. Jesus is a stone. Now he's not coming. He didn't come the first time rolling down and hitting the and crushing the image. He didn't do that. He came the first time as the Savior. He's coming the second time as the stone.
Right.
Amen. But he is the stone even now. He was then. Amen. Philippians 2, verse number 5. You know this is very familiar. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It would be robbery for us to be equal with God. We're not equal with God. But Jesus was. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I don't think we really understand what was involved in Jesus coming down to this earth. Bleed and die for us. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, here's the thing. That stone's going to come, and it's going to destroy all the kingdoms of the earth. But it is also going to, it's going to affect you, depending on how you approach the stone. Paul said every knee should bow in Isaiah, and then Paul again quoted Isaiah in Romans 14. Isaiah 45 and Romans 14 says every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. You see, there's coming a day when there's not an option. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before the Lord and you are going to bow.
Right.
But right now, the message to you today is you should bow.
Right.
Amen. And if you do bow today, then there's hope for you. If you wait to that day, you're still going to bow, but there's no hope.
Right.
There's no mercy. Right. When God's judgment falls, mercy is over.
Amen.
Amen. And so today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Amen. The day is the day of salvation. Matthew 27:29, the Bible says, when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews.
Yes, sir.
They bowed one time, but it was in mockery. They're going to bow another time. Now, I'm convinced there's a lot of people bow down at an altar in mockery.
Right.
They don't really mean business with God. Amen.
Yep.
They're not really surrendering, and that's what it is when you're a lost person. Amen. That conviction on you as a saved person, we should submit to God.
Right.
Amen. And it becomes that, but at the first, it's a surrender. We would get up, we would get out and walk away from that conviction if it's possible.
Right.
Amen. But we come under such Holy Ghost conviction that we surrender. We get to the place where we will surrender and God will save us then if we get there. Amen. But they're not coming in surrender to God. They're coming wanting to live their life and do their thing and just join the church or just be baptized or just please everybody else. I did that. I made a profession because I knew everybody knew I was lost.
Yep.
And I didn't want everybody to think I was lost. I want everybody to think I was saved. So I made a profession.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do any good. That's a mockery.
Right.
Amen. They come and they mock the Lord by bowing to him. In Matthew 7, verse 21, 22 and 23, you know the scripture there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. When they say Lord, Lord, they're saying, you're my master. You're the one in control. They're saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? All these wonderful works in your name? Where in the Bible does it tell us to do anything to be saved? They're basing their salvation on what they do.
Yes, sir.
But they're not submitting to the Lord.
Right.
They're making their own way of salvation. Yep. They're saying, Lord, they're bowing the knee, but they're saying, let me do it my way.
Yep.
That's a mockery.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Lord says, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. In Revelation 10, I mean 20, we won't turn there, but you know the great white throne judgment follows the millennial reign. It talks about the millennial reign, how everything Satan's going to be bound for his season, all these things. And then there's going to be that great white throne judgment. And the Lord's going to look in the books and look in the book of life. And whosoever's name is not found written therein shall be cast into the lake of fire. They're still going to bow the knee, but it's going to be too late on that day. Amen. That stone is going to fall on them and going to crush them to powder. It's a stone about the government, but it's also talking about each individual as well. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter number 2. We was just there. You might still be in Philippians. Look just back a few pages. Philippians chapter 2, the last part of the chapter, verse number 19. I'm thankful for this. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's that stone again. Paul said it's Jesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, these are people that fell on the stone. And they are built on the stone. They have a solid foundation. Amen. And they're added into that holy temple in the Lord. Built up together a holy temple unto the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. That's the stone in Daniel chapter number 2. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. But Matthew tells us in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, talking about the tribulation period, that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Look with me in Acts chapter number 1. A lot of people say, well, we can't know the day or the hour, but we can know the times and the seasons, and it's getting close. Well, here, look what the Lord says in Acts chapter number 1. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign.
Yep, yep.
Amen. I do believe we're getting close to the end. I believe that. Paul believed that the Lord would come back in his lifetime, and I think it's right for us to believe that.
That's right.
Not just say it, but actually believe it. Amen. Yeah. And I do believe it. I believe he will. But if he don't, he hasn't lied to us.
Right.
If he don't come back for another 2,000 years, the Bible's not untrue.
Right.
Amen. The Bible is still going to come to pass. Look what the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 6. It's after the Lord has risen, he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven. It's the last thing he told the believers here before he left. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. We don't know the day, nor the hour, nor the times, nor the seasons. In God's plan, he has the plan for the Jew, and he's pressed pause on that, and there's no time frame in the Bible for the Gentiles. It's just the times of the Gentiles. This image is at work. Satan's at work. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. But one day he's coming back, and when he does, the prophecy will be fulfilled. Amen. He says here, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus is saying you don't need to be worried about when the Lord's going to do what he's going to do. You just be worried about doing what I've told you to do.
That's right.
And that is to be a witness unto me. We can fight this. I think we should vote. Amen. As many times as he lets you. Amen.
Right.
But don't get caught up in what the government is doing. God's not working in the government today. He's working in the church.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. That's his realm today.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And that's more important. We could win people to our philosophy, our political philosophy, or we could win them to the Lord, which would be more important.
Right.
Amen. I believe that would be more important.
Right.
I believe somebody gets saved, they vote right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need to witness to those around us and tell them about the Lord. Amen. If we don't tell anybody about Him, His kingdom's still coming.
Right.
We're not. People say, "Well, let's bring in the kingdom." Well, that's not what our job is. Our job is to preach to the lost
right.
and see them saved. And let the Lord do the work of the kingdom, because He's going to. Whether we obey Him or not, the kingdom's coming.
Right.
Amen. Whether we believe or not, God's going to do what He said He's going to do. The problem is what's going to happen to us.
Yep.
Amen. In 1 Peter 2, now look there with me. 1 Peter 2. Hold your place in Acts 1 if you haven't already turned loose of it. I have, but I'm coming right back to Acts 4 in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter number 2, we see here, Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted of that? Amen. Verse number 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men," that means rejected, "but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." This is our role today, is to do that. "Wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded."
Amen.
He said he's chosen. The word chosen is the opposite of the word rejected.
Right.
The word elected is the opposite of rejected.
Right.
Amen. So the world rejects Jesus, but he's chosen of God.
Amen.
Amen. And you can choose him. Amen.
Right.
You can place your faith and trust in the Lord. You can repent of your sins and come to him today. If you don't know him, you can. But he says here in verse number 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." He's that precious stone. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Now you see, it's true that the word of God, if you believe it, it'll do you some good. Amen.
Right.
If you believe it. If you don't believe it, you'll trip up on it.
Right.
It'll confuse you. You'll get all mixed up. People, Brother Houston was talking about a guy that just don't take the Bible for what it says. He wants to read what everybody else says about it.
Yep.
Amen. And the people trip up on the Word of God. And the Bible says this stone is going to crush those that reject it. You have a choice today. Which one are you going to do? Amen. Now, look back with me in closing. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. I talked to Brother Jacob about this last night a little bit. Acts chapter 4. This is, or maybe it was on the radio. I don't remember. Acts chapter 4 here is very interesting to me. Look in verse number 5. This is, according to my Bible, according to the usher's timeline, this is the exact same year that our Lord was crucified. It took place very shortly after. We just read in chapter 1 where the Lord descended back up into heaven. And just a few days later, it's Acts chapter number 2, where the Holy Ghost endued them with power.
Right.
And the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter number 3. Immediately after that, the lame man's healed. And Acts chapter 4 is what follows the lame man being healed. This is this may be weeks after the Lord has ascended to go to heaven. I don't know how long it is.
Right.
This is directly afterwards. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Cephas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem." These are the rulers of the Jews. These are the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders. These are exact same people who agreed with Judas that we'll give you 30 pieces of silver if you can get Jesus.
Yep.
If you can lead us to Jesus. If you can get him to a place where we could capture him. See, I was afraid of Jesus. I was afraid of the people. So if you can get us to where we can sneak up on them. And of course, we know that he could have defended himself, but he didn't, because this was God's plan. But these are the exact same people that offered this deal to Judas. Verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They hated Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," he specifies which Jesus?
Yeah.
The one that's called Christ, the Messiah,
right.
The one that was from Nazareth, he identifies him very well. Then he says, "Whom ye crucified." Well, I could say that all of us crucified the Lord. Our sins is what caused him to be nailed to the cross.
Right.
But these men were literally the ones that demanded that Christ be hung on the cross. They were ones literally responsible for Christ being on the cross. Jesus said, "Ye have crucified him, whom God has raised from the dead." Amen. "Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." Jesus said, "You're the builders." Peter said, "You're the builders. By you builders, which has become the head of the corner." I'm thankful for verse number 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved." He didn't say whereby I was saved, whereby some of these others can get saved. But he said, "You crucified the Lord, but if you trust in his name, you can be saved."
Amen.
Amen. Jesus died for these men that crucified him.
Yes, sir,
amen. Now, it's a serious thing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with this message? What are we going to do with the stone? He's coming.
Yep.
And if the government can't stop him, I don't think you and I can stop him.
Right.
Amen. He's going to defeat everything in his way, and he's going to set up and rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And then after that, you're going to be held accountable for what you have done. The Bible says that those that have heard the truth, when the trumpet sounds and the church is called out of here, those that reject the truth will believe a lie and be damned. There'll be no hope in that day. God's finished. Today, God is dealing with the Gentiles through the church. I'm thankful a Jew can still get saved today.
Amen.
But he's not saving multitudes of Jews. They reject the Messiah today. They still reject the stone. But he's dealing with you today.
Amen.
He allowed this church to be in existence so that you could hear the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And what are you going to do with that? One day you're going to stand before him and you're going to give an account. And he's either going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or he's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you."
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You can still trust him today. Mercy has been applied, has been sent our way today. Amen.
Yeah.
We're living under the grace of God, in the mercy of God. But don't presume upon the grace of God. Those people say, "We're going to make a league with the devil. We're going to make a league with hell and with death." Because we don't like what God has to say. We don't like God's rules and regulations. We don't like to do it God's way. We're going to do it our way. And they say, "God's not going to judge us because we're God's people. We're America." He is going to judge us.
Yes.
Amen. I believe he already is judging us. Amen. He's going to be the stone, but today he's the Savior too.
Amen.
Are you going to call out to him? Are you going to fall upon him? Or is he going to fall upon you in that day? Peter said that neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. Instead of worrying about what the UN is doing, or the government is doing, or what this world is doing, why don't we worry about what God's doing? God's interested in saving souls. God's interested in saved people living like saved people. Amen.
Amen.
And praising him and worshiping him. That's what God's interested in today. Most important thing is, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Do you know Him?